Hey, what's going on, MLB Daily Fantasy Time, MLB Daily Fantasy Slate, and this is JB from Solution Sports. I'm going to go over our take tonight of the slate. Definitely some day games still going on. Right now, on Eastern Standard Time, it's 5:50. I got about another hour and 15 minutes, hour 13 minutes before actual start of the games. So, one thing that you guys know I normally do, definitely go over some of the highlights from the night before. As you know, it was a bombs away last night, home run derby again. If you've been on the Twitter page, on my Twitter page, I made a lot of comments about that, about the Dodgers game last night. Definitely a great disposal of offense by the Dodgers. Bats, it didn't matter if it was left or right going up against Cologne. He had really no business being out there, but he did get a contract. He vowed to pitch until he was about 45 for his mom, and he was able to do that, but he's definitely not pitching at a high level anymore. A lot of point spread changing in that last game. See Muncy going for a home run, Puig going for a home run. Bellinger active on the bases. I mean, everybody got involved last night. Jock Peterson, all up and down that lineup. So it shows the hidden prowess of the Dodgers. They're a very good team to be reckoned with out there. So is Seattle. Seattle's playing the game right now versus the Angels. Angels, once again, their pitching is just not where it needs to be. Another close game. Again, they're at home. Right now, they're going towards the bottom of the fifth inning. Seattle has a 4-3 lead. Typical Boston handling business on the road. They're on top of Baltimore, who once again trying to find identity with their pitching. 5-1, Boston's leading in the top of the eighth inning. We've seen Trout go off his league leading 22 and 23rd home run last night. Really trying to keep it going for his team. Cruz is right there with him. Cruz went deep again this afternoon. The Sluggers are just really doing their thing. The guys at the top of the home run leaderboard, they're very consistent. They're weighing on pitches, and they're driving the ball with authority, man. Greinke was on the mound today. Did have him in one of my lineups. Didn't have good control. Loaded bases up there against Pittsburgh this evening. And Pittsburgh needed a win. They did come off a loss. And they need to continue to stay in contention, and they're doing that. They're losers of their last two. They don't fare too well on the road, but they find a way to stay ahead of Arizona at the moment. So looking like they may pull that one out. Still out of baseball left. Top the seventh inning there. One matchup we are looking forward to looking at tonight. We got the Nationals at Yankee Stadium against Yankees starting at 7:05. Got Colorado going against Philly. You know, we kind of dissect both of those two games. Basically, you know, it is not a big pitching duel. We did see Sebastian do very well in the first game against the Nationals. I did give a precaution about Tanner Roark in that game. Didn't really come out with his best stuff. And I did also say that Didi Gregorius was going to have a breakout game at any moment. Two home runs in that game. And Daniel Murphy's return didn't do anything. He is back in the lineup again. Daniel Murphy, he is batting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, batting fifth in order. They got Sonny Gray up there, right-hander, this evening. So Sonny's been, you know, he's turned it around. He had some couple bad outings there earlier in the month of May, and now he's actually pitching a lot more consistent. He had 31 fantasy points against Toronto on the road. Another 24.5 against Baltimore. These are DraftKings points. Had a little bump in the road against Anaheim in New York. 5.7 fantasy points. He gave up a home run. Only lasted 3.2 innings. Before that, Kansas City. At Kansas City, had a lot of run support in that game. 10-1 at 26.4. And again, back in the middle of May, that's when he had that big rough out and had a -2 fantasy point performance. They lost that game 5-10, and that was to Oakland. Again, in Yankee Stadium, not a place you want to lose in front of your home crowd. They will definitely write about you. So, honestly, he's definitely going to be the favorite over Eric Fetty. Eric Fetty, as you know, Strasburg is out. He's on the disabled list, so it's a little bump in the road with the Nationals in their pitching rotation at the moment. He's been called up from AAA Syracuse, and he's got a tough start on the road against the Yankees, right? I mean, get called up, and who do you have to go up against in your first matchup? The mighty Yankees. 25 years old, he has a 4.76 ERA and a 1.49 WHIP. He has some decent strikeouts, 61 strikeouts across 56 innings at Syracuse. I don't really expect this guy to really go long. I mean, he had an outing on the 23rd against San Diego in Washington. He lost a game. It was a 1-3 result. Had 6 strikeouts. Gave up 3 earned runs. Gave up 6 hits in 5.2 innings. Respectively, because of his strikeouts, he was over FPTS, so with 14.6. So, again, that was against San Diego. By no means, this is not San Diego he's going up against. This is the New York Yankees, top of their division right now. So, definitely, he is going to be thrown out of the right-hand position. As we know, there are some left-hand batters in the Yankees lineup that you have to be aware of. Gregorius, he's been moved up to the third slot. He's batting between Judd and Stanton to get a little bit more of a left-handed presence there. And you got Gardner at the top of the lineup also. Eric is going to have he's going to definitely have a test. I can definitely see a lot of people who want to put multiple lineups in. I can see why you may want to do a Yankee stack today. I mean, it would just be unwarranted if you do not do a Yankee stack. I mean, you'd be leaving a lot of points out down the board. Contrarian to that lineup change, with Gregorius going to 3, you got Bird going down to the 7th spot. Yeah, he's banned behind Hicks and Andujar. Andujar, I got to give it to him. He's a very good-looking rookie. He looks like he knows what he's been doing. Like, he's a natural-born Yankee. I'm not going to say baseball player. It looks like he was just naturally made to play in Yankee Stadium and to put that jersey on. He has a bright future with that team. For anybody who plays fantasy, if you do a group fantasy, if you don't do daily, or if you do daily and a yearly fantasy, this guy is somebody you want to definitely roster. You know, if you do like a, you know, something of a yearly, multi-yearly league where you have to roster somebody and you have him for 2 or 3 years, this guy's going to be a superstar. I really like Miguel Andujar. He's going to get a lot of opportunities once again, coming behind the top of that order. And now he's actually being pushed in front of Greg Bird. It looks like, you know, the hidden management, they want to have a little bit more of a left-hander down there at the bottom of the order amongst the rookies, and they got Bird down in there. So both of those guys, don't get so caught up with the top four with Judge, Gregorius, Stanton, and Hicks. You know, Eric Fetty is a right-hander. You would think that Sanchez would be in the lineup, but he's not. So they got they got Austin Romine catching tonight, and he's batting at the bottom of that order, eighth as a matter of fact, in front of Gleyby Torres. So Yankees look primed to have another good outing. If you definitely go on to on covers, they have a high over under. It's a 9.5 over under. But the consensus still entails the Yankees. I still do see Washington definitely putting up some points. I'm not gonna write them off in this game because it is a batter's park and they got a lot of left-handers going up against Sonny Gray today. He also will definitely be tested. I mean, this could be somewhere you just roster bats out of just this one game and you might end up getting just 80 points off of certain batters. I mean, Adam Eaton is at the back of that lineup. They're finally getting back a little bit healthy with the batting now with Daniel Murphy. He's left-handed. Bryce Harper, left-handed. Turner, he can hit an infield hit. he can still slug it out. I mean, he has, you know, he has some good potential with band around those lefties and Rendon in that fourth spot. It's a good game. It's another good game to watch. I don't expect a lot of off pitching domination in this one. It's some question marks because of Danny Murphy. You don't really know where he is with his rehab. Eaton has looked very good since he's came back. We know Harper is having another all-star campaign. Turner, you know, he comes out. He makes good contact. He puts himself in a position to at least bring a run in or score a run. He got that power with Matt Adams down there, batting behind Daniel Murphy. Soto, one of the great rookies. I mean, this is really good. This is a really good game to watch where everybody up and down the lineup has special characteristics. I'm not even really looking into any of the pitching. I mean, like I said, Gray's done a lot better. But, I mean, Washington, I mean, the Braves have already won their game. That game took a little over 2 hours and 20-some minutes. One of the fastest games ever to be played in the National League this year. I mean, the pitcher for Atlanta, he had a no-hitter there going in the sixth inning there, and he gave it up. So Atlanta's playing at the Braves. They're playing at a high level this year. And Washington is there's still a game to have back, and they got to battle the Yankees. So a lot to look out for in that game. Roster batters with confidence and definitely pitching with caution in that game. We move on to the Colorado and Philly game. Tyler Anderson's on the mound, lefty. All right, they're playing in Philly, predominantly a pitcher's park. You know, Philly, they did come off of a win. They're winners of their last two. They're trying to get back on track. Had a little bit of rough start, I mean, ending the May there. They're hovering 4 games over .500, 3.5 games back of Atlanta. As great as Atlanta been playing, Philly, they're only 3.5 games back. So they're still right there in contention. And they got Colorado to deal with. So they played very good at home. Saw Nola pick up the win yesterday. 21-11 at home is Philly. They got Pivetta on the mound. You know, Pivetta, when he's on, he has control. He can be dominant. He can get strikeouts. And that's something that the Colorado Rockies do struggle with. Again, we don't want to take... We don't want to take Colorado for granted. at the moment, they've kind of slid back. They're losers of their last five. They were at the top of the division there at the end of May. Now, Arizona has picked up their slack, and they're out front running. The Dodgers is playing a little bit better. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Arizona's 8-2 in their last 10. They are losing currently to Pittsburgh. So this is an important game for Colorado to try to pick up, try to get out that loss of five column and get a win. Who are they going to send on the mound? I'm liking Pivetta at the moment. We got Tyler Anderson. He has a high ERA, 4.81. What we want to look at out this lefty is his ability to pitch on the road. And right now his whip is 1.22. on the road. He started more games on the road, 8 games started. He's undefeated, 2-0, so he has something to fight for, trying to keep that undefeated record there. Earned runs is kind of high, though. He got 20 earned runs and 39 in his pitch, so he's almost giving up an earned run like for every other inning he pitches. The long ball is in his pedigree. He does have a decent amount of strikeouts, 58 on the season. So out of the 13 games he started, he has 58 strikeouts. So his ERA on the road is 4.58. So the numbers are saying definitely to expect some runs to be scored by Philly. The guys in Vegas have an 8.5 over under. They are still favoring Philly on the money line, -125. 58%, still close, because they know Colorado definitely has a lot to play for. It's a 58% consensus for Philly and 42% for Colorado. So, Let's look at some of the big names where people are definitely going to probably jump out after in this game. As for the hitters, I want to primarily just focus on the top of the order. I did give out some info on LeMahieu, and he did get some production in the last game they played. Blackman, he only got 5. Still hasn't had a really, really big breakout game. If they're going to win this game, I will definitely put out there on the line that Blackman will have to show up today. Definitely one of the left-handers in this lineup. Going up against Pivetta. And let's see if we can pull up. Let's do a little stat real quick. And while I do that, let's just go ahead and just look at his splits according to what DraftKings has said. I mean, he has 5 at-bats in one game against these guys. And, you know, he has the 1 double. Not a lot of metrics there. We are looking forward to a multi-hit game out of him today. It's going to be very important for him to go out there and establish himself at the top of that order and try to get even Arenado something to work with. You know, if you can get somebody on base, that'll make it hard for the pitcher for Philly Pivetta to pitch around him. Right now, again, he's always going to be pretty good. He's normally, his career average is .303, so he's batting on his career average this year. The 31 RBIs, again, can be contributed to him primarily batting at the top of the lineup. Again, it's still not a lot of bats to go for right now. In Coors Field, he's on the road right now. So, right now, I mean, his OPS is .876. He only has 1 home run in June. He's approaching after like the first week of June right now. So he does have a couple triples. Away, I mean, .930 on the road. His slugging is .566. Out of his 13 home runs, this is what I want to get to. 11 of his 13 home runs on the road. So, definitely, if he's going to have a breakout game, and he hasn't been hitting very good at home, he's been doing more on the road, and this is a very important game for them, I'm really focusing on him. I mean, they don't really let up on his salary on DraftKings. I mean, he's at 5,300. It's 5,100 on the 12, 5,800 on the 10. So it's went down. He had a high metric of 5,800 for the week so far, and it's went down by 500. So this is a good time to try to buy him and get him in your lineup. Pivetta, right-hander. You got Cargo right there behind Arenado. Definitely he's somebody you want to look at from a left-handed standpoint. I do like LeMahieu once again at the top of the lineup, even though he's a right-hander. Story could definitely bounce back. I mean, this is a game if you want to take a Colorado stack. I don't blame you. I really don't. I mean, they already are scoreboard watching. They know they can make up some ground. Pivetta has a 3.76 ERA. Haven't had a start against him once again. He's kind of half and half with the home run ball, but in his last 4 games, he's only given up 1 home run. So that's not something he really does very often. He can get you about an average of 5 to 7 strikeouts. So, he's going to be hungry. He's lost his last 3 games. He's 0-1 against Chicago. He lost against San Francisco, lost against Toronto. The last time he picked up a win was back on May 21st, and that was against the Braves. So he did pitch his last 2 games on the road. He's back at home, and he pitches wonderful at home. He's 3-2 at home and 1-3 on the road. He's only given up 2 home runs out of the 6 at home. And he has a .98 whip at home. Again, it's a pitcher's part by nature. And it's a 2.20 ERA at home. So the guy's doing his business. He just needs to get a little bit of run support when he's out there. So again, with his ability, that I can see exactly why the over under is 8.5. They're looking into how he pitches at home, the pitcher's park. Colorado has been slumping, so don't expect too much fireworks, but you know, you can get some fireworks probably out of two or three players. I do like Blackman once again. Anybody for Philly, you might want to ask. So you saw Kingery, he surprised me the other day. He went deep, and actually they moved him up to the third spot in the lineup. Interesting. He has a cheap salary there, $3,200, and he's been between Rhys Hoskins and Carlos Santana. Hey, he can go out and do it again. I mean, why not? I would definitely, for that $3,200, I would definitely take a shot with him. Rhys Hoskins, again, he's at that 4,000 clip. Let's kind of look at a little bit of what he has going on before we move on from this game. And definitely got to look at Hoskins because he has the power right there. He's batting 222 in the month of June. He does have that one homer he got when he came off the disabled list. In the 9 at bats, he has two. In the National League, going against the National League, he has 38 hits out of the 158 at bats against the National League. He's been 241 when he plays versus the National League. Versus Colorado, not much. It's two at bats. He has two walks and scored a run. So he's holding his own. Not really much to look into in there, but he is someone that definitely, if you're looking at that Philly team, the middle of that order, maybe want to go the contrarian against some other big names. He is someone that can go out and definitely score some runs for you. Once again, the top of the order now, Cesar Hernandez, he's batting right-handed. So I do want to look at that. He's kind of a sneaky player at times, and you do want to definitely take a look at that. Let's see how in his career against Anderson, he's done very good. In 9 at bats, he has 6 hits, one of them being a double, .667 average. He's doing pretty decent in June, batting .243, no home runs, but he has some good metrics against Anderson. So against left-handed pitching, his slugging goes down a little bit. His OPS not by much. His OBP is pretty good, so he's pretty consistent from both sides. We do know his power side is actually the left side. He has 7 home runs against right-handed pitchers and none against lefties. So he has more power, as I already knew, from the left side. At home, he's batting better, .271. His OPS is about the same away and home. Not much difference there. But he does have a little slight better average at .271. You know, his average on the year is .264. And he's a speedster. He has 6 stolen bases at home and 4 away. He's more aggressive on the bases at home. He has been caught stealing twice. But a very aggressive guy to play. Again, very disciplined. If you want to buy him, they got him at $3,900. He's under 4,000. He's definitely somebody that could make a little noise tonight, especially if he gets on base. So I will say, definitely an important game for Colorado. I think Pivetta is going to command a little respect up there. I do see him probably giving up a few runs. I think Colorado will try to bounce back, give him some time. You know, they're going to give themselves some time to really make him pitch the ball today. I think it's going to start with the top of their lineup in that hard order. Philly, they're going to try to go behind their pitching, probably rely on some of their guys at the top of the order too. So you don't have Herrera in the lineup. That may cause maybe Franco to be a little bit more aggressive if he gets some opportunities down there at the bottom of the order. His salary has dropped tremendously. Franco is somebody I used to really, really like there, but he's entrenched down there in the bottom of that order now. and really don't know what his identity is. He's batting six, doesn't have any metrics against them. Quietly has 8 home runs on the year. He hasn't done anything the last 3 games he started, all donuts. So doesn't have a lot of bats. He only had 1 at bat on the 9th against Milwaukee, and then 2 on the 7th against Chicago, and then 2 on the 6th against Chicago. Again, nothing. Only struck out once in those 5 at bats, but he'd be looking to get back on board today. So as for offense, don't see it like really being a big offensive game. I'm kind of with the covers with the 8 over under there, but it can be a game where it will be kind of fought, just like we saw in the Chicago series today. I think it's gonna be kind of hard fought, a little dueling on the mound there. So leave it up to the veterans and the superstars to make the decision in that game. All right, so yeah, Minnesota and Detroit, another 7-10 game. Sad news that Cabrera Miggy is out for the season. I was looking for him to bounce back from his injuries, and he had his bicep tendon torn. So season-ending injury for Cabrera. Not good news for Detroit fans. We got Matthew Boyd on the mound and Jose Berrios. As we know, Jose Berrios has really turned it around in his last few games. He has 11,200 clip, so it's definitely something. Definitely something in the computer showing a big spike in his productivity. It's 3.66 ERA. He's gotten that down. He has a winning record now at 7-5. He's been winners of his 3 out of his last 4, almost beating Seattle in Seattle. His only loss in his last 4 starts, but he's been getting a lot of run support. 7 on the 7th of June against his White Sox, and another 7 against Cleveland. And he pitched very wonderful against the White Sox, 39.2 fantasy points at 10 strikeouts, only gave up 2 earned runs. So anytime you see him going under his ERA of 3.66, he's dangerous. When he can stay under that ERA and get you multiple strikeouts of 7-10, you're going to get money. You're going to be banked. And definitely, as I always preach, when Miggy is not in that lineup for Detroit, it's like a whole different lineup right now. I mean, it's a lot less to fear. They got Jaime Candelario batting third behind Castellano now. They got to move Victor Martinez up in the cleanup. And he hasn't looked very comfortable up there in the lineup. He's been swinging through a lot of pitches. His power is not where it used to be. He's a switch hitter, and he does hit better from the left-hand side. Cheap salary for Victor Martinez for someone batting in the cleanup position. But he does still have a tough assignment against Jose, who has a lot of good spin ratio and a great command of his fastball. So, before I even look at covers, I can already kind of tell that Detroit's going to be an underdog. They are at +135. It's an 8.5 over under. I was definitely contributed probably most of those runs from Minnesota. as for the lineup, the top of that order is killer, man. I mean, with the matchup against Boyd, you got Dozier, Rosario, Escobar. Rosario won the lead in batting average. You got Sanu, Robbie Grossman. We saw Adrianza had a very good game the other night. I definitely... definitely see some fireworks there. I mean, Adrianza had a grand slam. And Tuesday win against them at 3 hits. So you just never know who's going to be the pop-up guy in that Minnesota lineup. If the other guys, the for sure names that everybody knows, doesn't produce. Next thing you got somebody at the bottom of the order for them picking up the slack. So, I mean, they're 5 games back of Cleveland. Yeah, winners of their last 2 Minnesota. They're trying to increase that record on the road right now. They're 12-17. They get that up a little bit, start playing a little bit on the road, they can definitely be someone to watch. They're 500 at home. So definitely look out for Minnesota. This is another winnable game. This is a game they have one of their aces on the mound. They should definitely take advantage of that. Dozier's at the top of the lineup. He didn't do anything yesterday. Had a pretty tough eye for at bats. He struck out once. He's going through a little slump right now. He does have an opportunity to turn it around. So you can definitely roster him with confidence that he can get back on the positive side of things. Right now, Matthew Boyd, 7,300, is kind of at mid-range tier for salary. He's at 500 now. He's 4-4. He has one game pitch against Minnesota, four innings, and gave up two earned runs in that game. He only had two fantasy points. So, again, Detroit's pitching situation is a little shaky right now. As for him pitching at home, his whip is much better at home. In the six games, he's 3-1. In the 36 innings he's pitched, he's given up 10 earned runs. Identical strikeouts as 27-27 from home and away. So he's averaging about 17.4 fantasy points at home versus 13.2 on the road. He had some shortcomings here. He had 9 fantasy points against a weak Toronto team, and 2 against Minnesota, once again in Minnesota. So he's at home. We'll have to see what kind of Matthew Boyd we get. He is a left-hander, and he's going against some pretty good right-handers in this lineup with Andrianza, Sano, Escobar, Dozier, even Robbie Grossman. We don't want to take advantage. We don't want to take him for granted. So I don't really see too much noise being made on the Detroit end. The bottom of the lineup looks pretty weak. With Goodrum and Grainer. I mean, we do have to look out for Iglesias. He is hitting a lot better this year. But again, let's go ahead and do some confirmation for our fans out there. So what we're going to do, we're going to go and look at Berrios and see how he does against right-handed. So his whip is very good in June. He's scoring a .80 whip in June. In the 15 innings pitch, he can do a little bit better. He's giving up 6 earned runs, 11 hits. So he's giving up less hits per inning at the moment. Let's look at his versus right-handers. So out of 10 home runs shown here, he's giving up more towards right. It's about pretty much identical versus left. He had 152 at-bats versus left, 155 at-bats versus right. And he's giving up more home runs to the right side, 6. He has a .206 average versus a .204 average lefty. So not a big discrepancy there. The OPS is slightly more. Really, it's pretty neutral. Not a really big distinct factor from left to righty, except for he's giving up a little bit more home runs versus righties. A lot of that could be due to some of the competitions he has to go against. In his 10-game log, he's had Cleveland. He had Seattle. Had the White Sox. He handled them. But then he had Cleveland and Seattle, two tough teams. He had 2 home runs given up in that game. He did get the win against Cleveland. And then he had St. Louis, who he dominated, Detroit, who he dominated, Anaheim, he had a little bit of issue with, gave up 2 home runs. Of course, he got Trout and those guys in that lineup. So, and then he had the Yankees. So, he had some pretty, the teams that gave him trouble, you can kind of see why. They're good hitting offensive teams. Definitely Minnesota all the way. Definitely you can roster some bats out of Minnesota. I kind of went through that. Don't really like anybody in that Detroit order. If you do want a flyer, I will be consistent. I mean, we all know Castellano is pretty much a very well-known commodity right now. I don't really know how well he's been doing. He hasn't been making too much of a buzz lately. Right now, you know, he had 4 at-bats, 2 fantasy points in the first game. Didn't do anything against that last game in Cleveland when Detroit played. Hasn't really had a big outing in a while, you know. With Mickey being out of that lineup, that's going to kind of hurt him. Still batting over 300, still looking for a home run in his last 7 games. Haven't went deep. Let's go ahead and do that because, I mean, we do want to find out as much relative information. Is he worth the salary? Should our listeners even want to do that? He's batting 500 against Berrios and 10 at-bats. He has 5 hits, scored a run, 4 RBIs, and a home run. So very good metric against Berrios. So if you like him, and you know, as much as I respect his hidden capabilities, he's definitely somebody you could roster. But then with him, knowing that it's not really too much of a power factor in that lineup, and they may pitch around him. He does very good against right-handers. He kills left-handers, but his metrics versus right-handers is not bad. He has more home runs versus right-hand pitching than left. Four, he has three triples against right-handers. So at home, that's pretty good at home also. So all the metrics for Castellano are showing a thumbs up. So I want to give a little relative information there about somebody you could possibly roster if you want to take somebody out of that lineup. Leonis Martin is a left-hander. He hasn't done much against him. Low OVP, low slugging. I don't really like anything I see. He has 9 homers on the year. If you want to do a 1-2 combo and pick those two guys up the top against Berrios as a contrarian play, go for it. You definitely will probably move up a lot in the contest. A lot of people are not going to probably test Berrios because he has a high salary today. But I do like those two batters at the top of the order for Detroit. All right, so again, not really particularly caring for Boyd. Do like Berrios. Pivetta, you could roster him, but then do that with caution. Don't really like any of the pitchers out of that Washington and New York game. Like all the bats in that game. Let's go on to the San Francisco-Miami game, another 7-10 matchup. We got Suarez on the mound against Callis Smith. Callis Smith has been pretty good. I mean, I've watched him pitch a few times this year, and he does do a good job of pitching on both sides of the plate. His ERA is on the 4, 3.70. So that's very important. He's not in the high 4s. Against San Diego, a team he should have dominated, he did. He was 4-0. Result in that game, he picked up the win. Out of his last 4 games, he's picked up 3 out of his last 4 games, dropping 1 on the road against Arizona. And in those 3 out of 4 wins, he was in double digits in fantasy points. So that's 22.4 for San Diego, 22.8 against San Diego. He got the luck of the draw at San Diego in 2 out of his last 3 starts. So he did what he was supposed to do. He got 5 strikeouts on the last start against San Diego, and then 4 when he played in San Diego. So not a big strikeout pitcher from time to time, but on average, he can get you 5-7 on average against the right team. He will be tested today against San Francisco. He hasn't pitched against them all year. Right now, let's look at something real quick. San Francisco, I don't believe they won that game. They didn't. They lost their last 2 games. That dropped them 1 game on the 500 now. And that's not look good. That's not a good look with the Dodgers heating up. And Dodgers got a really good easy test on the West Coast right now. They got lucky by running into Bartolo Colon again last night. And the young rookie, he pitched about 3 innings for the Dodgers last night. He didn't look too comfortable, but he was able to get some run support and pretty much keep them in the winning positive thing. The bullpen came in and took over for the Dodgers, and they finished them off 12-5. So, San Francisco, this is a game they really need to try to win. I told everybody yesterday the Miami game was tricky. They didn't really want to rule them out. They've been trying to play a little bit better with a little bit better offense. If you did take Miami yesterday in that game, you definitely got the fruits of the results out of that. They're favored today. They're minus 104 on the money line. San Francisco is still a consensus of 58% and Miami 42%. So, very interesting game. They're not going to give away that money that you won last night if you're a Marlins fan going against San Francisco. So, very interesting game for people who maybe want to take a chance or to redeem themselves. Oh, man, I don't know how to even explain it, but you got Suarez out there, lefty. High ERA, 5.06 ERA, that's a red flag. Didn't do very well against Washington, that's Washington, of course. Gave up a home run, 4 earned runs, He only went 4.1 innings on the road. Again, he is finding himself on the road again, and his metrics is not that good on the road. His batting average versus the team's a .340 batting average, 6.75 ERA. Gives up the long ball. He's 1-2 on the road, 22 innings pitched, giving up 4 home runs. So it's like he's giving up pretty much like a home run almost every game he pitches. You can pretty much bank on that. So very important to see how that is. They got Castro at the top of the lineup. They're going to probably try to get him going. He's been kind of off and on here lately. We want to definitely look into that. Let's look into that whole thing and what they're trying to do. I want to definitely look into the Castro situation. That's a very, very intriguing move on Miami's part. And the first thing I'm going to look at, in the month of June, he's not doing bad. He has 44 at bats. He's been 295. He got 6 doubles, no homers. Well, let's look at his splits. Well, how does he do when he's leading off, right? So when he's actually batting first, his OPS is higher than any of the other average. It's .795 and 40 at bats. He has 11 hits. Pretty decent average. Pretty decent slugging at .425. So they're moving him around. It should be very interesting to see what he do. You can definitely give him a shot. I mean, he hasn't stolen a base in a while. That's one thing I look at for my leadoff position guy. So, very interesting to see that move. He had 2 hits in the last game. He drove in a run. Had 8 fantasy points. He is capable of getting double digits, but he has to be in the right position. So, this pitcher being a lefty on the mound, definitely interesting to see how they're going to start off in that first inning. We also look at JT Realmuto, a very popular player amongst fantasy players. In the month of June, he's batting .256, 10 hits and 39 at bats. He has a homer, has a triple, has 4 doubles. Doing his thing, has pretty decent consistency. He's batting .300 for the year, has 7 homers. Not too many RBIs due to who he's playing with. And at home, he has a .500 slugging average at home and .844 OPS. Pretty good numbers there. As for his homers, he has 4 on the road and 3 at home. Not bad. As for his RBIs, he does a little bit better. 14 on the road and 8 there at home. Primarily because the Marlins park is a pitcher's park. I want to definitely keep that into consideration. He's doing very good against San Francisco. He has a homer, a double, and an 8 at-bats. He has 4 hits. So he's doing his thing. He's doing his part. I can definitely, as I'm crunching these numbers, you can kind of see why Miami is favored. They're important hitters. Are doing very good. They got Brian Anderson there. The speedster there. That's batting second. He can have some problems, man, in that top order. They're looking to really run him out of the park there with those top 4. Got a lot of speed there with Castro, Anderson, and Maben. And then they come behind with the power with the lefty with Boer. So I always kind of put Boer out there when I am diagnosing Miami. You know, I kind of bring his name up from time to time. So let's look at something real quick. Let's look at Miami. See if I can bring this back in. Computer run a little bit slow right now. So we'll come back to that. We'll just go back over here. So, all right. So Ben Fifth. He got 10 homers on the year. I mean, that's what he's known for in that lineup is his power. Not a fast guy. He's a first baseman. Hasn't had double digits the last about 4 games. Still looking for that home run ball. Hey, man, I like Miami in this game, man. Honestly, I really do. I just got that feeling about them. We got McCutchen there in the third spot again. Kind of cooled off a little bit. But, he kind of goes in his little droughts. And then he's like oasis for some other people. So, again, he's a right-hander. Again, San Francisco is going to be battling for something. Calix Smith there is a lefty. So Very interesting matchup between him and McCutchen. For you San Francisco fans out there, so I'm not gonna completely write them off. The over under 7.5. They're not expecting a lot of runs in this game, so it's gonna be kind of interesting. That's a very low over under. But again, it's a pitcher's park, and both the pitchers are not bad. But they're pretty decent, you know. But I can kind of see how they're going with that over under that game. So definitely, I like Miami in that matchup. I don't really see too much noise out of San Francisco. You know, they turned to some of their power hitters, you know, to go against a lefty Crawford, Hundley, and Austin Jackson. I mean, Gorky's Hernandez can be a surprise from time to time. There are some sneaky plays in here. You know, again, there are not a lot of household names up and down either of these lineups. But there is cause for concern with Suarez going up against the right-handers. Miguel Rojas, I've seen him go off against lefties. I think this is definitely a sneaky game for Miami. This might be one of those games where you see the box score and they got all 7.5 runs. So, Kyle Smith is going to have his little issues with Posey and McCutchen, of course, and Longoria. They're going to be looking to get a lot of production from that. And, I mean, even Austin Jackson, you got to keep him off base. He is fast. He is a speedster. He can steal bases. He's not a power hitter, but he can make good contact. Might put a bunt down every once in a while. So, very strategic game. I do agree with the low scoring of that game, but I'm giving a nod to Miami. You can roster probably them if you disagree with me and you see San Francisco being, you know, the more veteran team and the team who has more to play for, I would definitely go with the veterans. I would take Panic and Posey and McCutchen. I mean, you can roster that top five and do a giant stack if you want to, but I'll definitely still proceed with caution because Kyle Smith he's not a bad pitcher at all. I mean, he does definitely have good stuff, and Vegas actually sees the same thing that I see. So proceed with caution in that game with some of the bats. Going forward, we got Cleveland and the White Sox. The Indians against Chicago White Sox. Got Dylan Covey, $5,500 salary. Bauer, $11,500. When I did first put my eyes on this game, I was kind of like, Bauer, $11,500, right? So, I mean, anytime you get somebody that price, I mean, you definitely got to get at least times three, whatever their salary is, $11,000, you know, and you got to get you at least 35 or more fantasy points at that salary. Can he do it against the White Sox? He hasn't had an outing against them. He's on the road, and let's look at that. He's actually pitching better on the road. A whip slightly better, 1.12. Batting average at .213. ERA impressive, 2.17. The 5 home runs shown here. He's giving up 2 on the road and 3. At home, so he's pitching a little bit more on the road, 45 versus 40 innings, and he's 500 on the road, 3-3 on the road, and 2-1 at home. He's heavy favorite in this game. Probably do it if he gets the thing about Bauer. If he gets run support, he pitches a lot better when he has run support. When the team gives him run support, they are +170 underdogs on the money line of White Sox, 75% consensus for Cleveland winning this game versus 25% for the White Sox. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this game. Don't really have a lot of confidence in Dylan Covey, even though he has a 2.22 ERA. He did do some good work against Boston and Milwaukee, but Cleveland pretty much did a good job. They got 5 hits in the 4.1 innings in Cleveland. Got 2 earned runs. They scored 5 runs in that game. So I think he's going to end up having similar results. Cleveland can't really afford to lose to an underachieving team today. It just wouldn't look good on them. You know, this is a game that a veteran team like this should come out and win. They lost that last game. They're at 500 right now, 5-5 in their last 10. Minnesota has their ace on the mound. Again, you know, they can definitely continue to make sure they keep pace with them with that 5 games they have. I really don't want to write a bad story about them tomorrow. They definitely need to come out and take care of business with Bauer on the mound. So, getting into some of the 8 to 10 o'clock games, got Luke Weaver on the mound for St. Louis, Eric Lauer on the mound for San Diego, high ERA for Lauer once again. You know, St. Louis tore him up last time. he only went 2.1 innings, gave up 6 earned runs. Not a very good metric here. He had some negative fantasy point performances. One against Miami, and then another one against St. Louis. He had some bright spots here and there. But, you know, just a lot of high ERAs. And 23 innings pitch on the road, giving up 17 earned runs. 15 innings pitched at home, 12 home runs. The guy just definitely cannot command any consistency right now. A big part of the problem is that he walks. He has 7 walks on the road against Miami. I mean, you can't walk batters in this league. They're going to hurt you. And then you cover that with some home runs from power teams, you're really going to get screwed over. So he's a lefty. St. Louis actually been playing pretty decent baseball. They had a hiccup when Carlos Martinez was on the mound a few days ago, but they got to continue to keep pace with Milwaukee. They're 3.5 games back. They need to continue to keep ground on the Cubs while they're struggling at the moment. So I like St. Louis there. I definitely do. Luke Weaver has a high ERA also, 4.35. He did do pretty good against them. He did pick up the win against them. He's 1-0. He went 5 innings, enough to earn a win. He only walked 1 batter, had 4 strikeouts, had 20.3 fantasy points. A right-hander going against that team. His salary is $7,700, pretty much where it should probably be going against a team that doesn't have much power outside of Villanueva and Hosmer. He should be able to handle the left-handers just as long as he pitches around Hosmer and don't really walk Jankowski up there at the top of the order. But, again, this is a situation. Weaver would definitely pitch a lot more relaxed if they can jump out to a lead and give him some run support against Lauer. That's the key for Weaver right there. That Cincinnati and Kansas City game, we will look at a couple things. St. Louis is a heavy favorite again. They're minus 200 on the money line. So it's kind of hard to pick up anything with that if you've been for St. Louis. Again, heavy favorite. Kansas City is an underdog. It's a high over under. I will say Cincinnati game is an offensive output matchup. I was talking about Gannett, the DP, on the phone earlier today. Just something about his matchup today. I'm gonna like. They got the right hander Hamill on the mound. I'm liking Votto and Gannett right there in the middle of that lineup. I really like what they're doing there with the top four. I think Hamill, I mean, he's gonna have to really pitch his ass off to try to really combat what they're doing, this lineup. Jesse Winkler, I've seen him have a walk-off home run before. Suarez, this is definitely an offensive juggernaut here. I like both leadoff hitters. I do like Whit Merrifield going up against Mile. Salvador, I mean, Kansas City. they're just a team you don't know what you're going to get out of them. They do play a little bit better at home. They're 2-8 in their last 10, struggling just as bad as Baltimore. They're losers of their last 2. And primarily part as their pitching has not been very good this year. I'm liking Cincinnati's game. I'm not going to really write up a lot of euphemism for Kansas City. They have to really come out and show all the daily fantasy community and the watchers of the game that they're ready to put a few wins together, but it's hard pressed to do that when your bullpen isn't that good and your aces aren't doing that well, and then you got Jason Hamill coming on the mound against a tough Reds lineup he's going to have to face today. Definitely a roster batters in this game. You might be able to sneak Salvi and Moustakas, Soler, Merrifield. I like both sides of the top of the order, actually. I'm not going to give, like, a big hands appraisal for Tyler Mile. I mean, his whip is not bad. I mean, it's 1.43, but the ERA is kind of concerning at 4.33. He hasn't really faced Kansas City this year. You know, he had no decision against Colorado. Had 6 strikeouts. Didn't give up a home run ball in his last 3 games. Kansas City is not really noted for their power, and he is pitching in a pitcher's park. So, all the flags, green flags, is for Cincinnati today. I do see Miles staying in the positive. I don't really see him have a negative fantasy point performance. I would pretty much bank that he will get you his average, even though he's under 7 grand. That doesn't show a good, the computer's not showing a dominant performance for buying him. If you buy him, you buy the risk and you hope that he really doubles his average. And he has had that a couple of times. I mean, he had 226 fantasy point performances against Minnesota, and one against Minnesota and one against Atlanta earlier in the season back at the end of April. So he is worth the risk. And I definitely like the run support he's most possible to get in the game. So we got Maeda coming back off an injury and Cole Hamels. That should be a very good duel there. I think Texas was... yeah, very embarrassed. I watched that game with Cologne last night. It was very embarrassing. I mean, the guy just has no movement on his pitches, no velocity on his fastball. It looked like basically batting practice for the Dodgers. I just don't know why he was actually in the game for that long. I probably would have pulled him after the second inning, but he went in there for another inning and a half, and it was just a lot more of the same. Really put the ball club behind the 8-ball. They did have a chance to actually win that game. I mean, it was a 3-0 lead, and then, you know, the rookie came back and gave up 2 runs, and then they brought him back out on the mound, and then they put a 7 spot up down Texas. Very deflating for the team. So, Maeda's coming off the hip injury he had earlier. It was a 10-day disabled list relief for him. I'm not really going to read too much into him. We know Texas is underachieving. And I know Hamels got beat up pretty bad against Houston his last game. I do kind of like his matchup, kind of isolating the lefties in that lineup. Let me just go ahead and look at the order. They got Bellinger, it's only lefties, so they're taking Jock Peterson out. And they got Austin Barnes hitting. So, no Grandal. So, they're going with more righties in that lineup, which does take a little bit of the power out in lineup and helps Hamels a little bit. But kind of looking forward to watching that game to see what Texas, the kind of mindset they come out with after the embarrassment they had last night with Cologne on the mound. I'm not going to really say that Hamels can come out and dominate tonight. I think it's a pretty even matchup right now. Not knowing what you're going to get out of Maeda. He's a right-hander. I like Joey Gallo. Beltre hit some pretty hard balls. We saw Sin Su Chu go deep last night. So they're going to bring it. Odor hit the ball pretty hard. He's going to have his hands a little bit full tonight there. So you can definitely roster some contrarian plays out of that Texas lineup, man. We know we got the mighty Gerrit Cole on the mound, high salary, $13,200. You know you're going to get strikeouts out of him. You know, we saw McCullers run into the issue at Oakland last night, but the batter sure didn't hold up. I mean, the batter sure did hold up for Houston. I mean, they gave him some run support. Gaddis did his thing, 3-1 home run. If he gets a run support tonight, he owned him in the last one. In the 2 games he's pitched, he's had a 1.03 whip, 29.1 average fantasy points. So he's given up 4 earned runs in the 2 games he started against them with a total of 21 strikeouts. So the guy's dominating right now. You're going to pay for him, but he's going to definitely With that lineup, just like Sale, I mean, today against Baltimore, he should definitely do his justice. On the mound, we'll go over a couple of little things real quick. We got Blackburn on the mound for Oakland, a righty. We're going to have to pray for him. He's going against one of the elite teams that bring your runs in when they have runners on base. Again, he's a righty. So, we'll see how it goes. All right. Good luck to you.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.